a lot of research at one point. I made a video about this years back.
Grounding, or what's called earthing.
The concept is that when we're literally in touch with the earth, we absorb electrons that help neutralize the free radicals in our body that damage our cells. Earthing's proponents say this grounding can reduce inflammation, pain, and stress.
If you're grounded, your blood is flowing as long as you stay grounded.
And it also thins the blood, so you're less likely to have a heart attack and a stroke. And in fact, it thins the blood so much that if you're taking a blood thinner, you have to lower the dose.
A recent study conducted by the University of Mannheim in Germany found that putting, so this is your feet.
Yes.
Now, when you're putting your head like
your
we
forehead.
Do. Yes. This is a form of grounding, isn't it?
Correct. Yeah. All your nutrients first from whole foods, nutrients dense food, before you start filling up with empty calories and high sugars.
This is the Dean Show.
Assalamu alaikum. So, my next guest, entrepreneur, health educator, health and fitness. We just had a nice little morning workout after Fajr.
Alhamdulillah.
So run me through some of the things that we were working out on. What was some of the things? This is your like kind of normal routine?
I do have a different split for myself. So I don't really, every level is different. And usually like beginners, they usually have a full body day, a day off, full body day, day off, then that's kind of how it goes, because they need to adapt to the stress and the whole new routine. Then as you progress, you kind of like will train like 4 days, 5 days split, even 6 days split. Mm-hmm. So far right now I have like 6 days split, but I take times off as needed. But today's workout was mainly, we did the posterior chain, we worked on the back, we worked on the hamstring muscles and lower back, so we kind of fixing that posture. It's a really great workout we did. We targeted the back from different angles, as you know, we showed them in the B-roll, and that's and we prayed Fajr, so that was the start of the day, the highlight. So we had the first win, and a lot of the things that we do on a day to day is, as men, I think, is consistency, and we are pretty consistent with so many things, and we have to, unlike women, that they within themselves they have a 28 to 32 day cycle. We don't. We are so consistent that we can bear stress, we can bear load differently. And I think that just having 4 wins every day, it will make a huge difference. And living by a code, living by a standard. The first win, it was a spiritual one, which is a religious. So we went to the masjid, we prayed Fajr, alhamdulillah. And then after that, we had the physical and exercise win. That's kind of like in the books. Then after that, you can have, you know, spending time, quality time with your loved ones, your family, your brotherhood, all those things. That's another win. And also you have the work. So that's a financial win. So productivity in general. So those kind of like the 4 wins that every day anyone should kind of like make sure that they have in their back pocket.
Mm-hmm. All right. So this is so we covered the working out, and they have done studies also. I think it was like 65% of many health issues that a person has, just by working out, they can help to eliminate these things.
Diminish completely, yeah, absolutely. Right. Like there's a bone fracture, there is hormone imbalances, there is mood swings, depression, you have muscle mass, metabolic health, heart health, a lot of things that could be resolved just by putting shoes on, going to the gym, warming up, lifting heavy weights, put him down correctly, do sauna, do ice bath, come back home, shower, and that's pretty much how you solve it. Instead of like everyone likes to line up to what's the next pill that should I take to help me out, when in reality it's just we have it within us to actually do that.
And there's something even more important in working out, we'll get into that in a minute, is what you're putting in your body. Because you can be working out, but if you're drinking Coca-Cola, you know, eating horrible foods,
you're
it's counterproductive, you know?
Absolutely. Fuel is important, and nutrition is such a paramount thing that, unfortunately, we don't really get taught. And even now, within the government, whoever is getting certified, usually, that if you look at the what the American Association has now said, that a steak and the chips are the same, right? And there are so many outlandish stuff that they trying to eliminate. Eggs, and not have cholesterol, linking heart health to cholesterol, or let's say healthy fats from beef or from egg yolk, which there is a heart surgeon who came recently and wrote a book about the reason for heart issues is not cholesterol, it's sugar. The overconsumption of sugar, which you mentioned about Coca-Cola, and it's just, imagine water mixed with sugar and salt. So one gets you thirsty, the other one masks the taste of salt, and that's kind of like empty calories. Then you have other foods, oils too, that carcinogens, and it creates inflammation. So it's really important to put the right foods, the right fuel, because that's kind of like what's going to get you through the day with everything that you do. So,
and before that, now, before we even start working out, every Muslim, it's an obligation that he wakes up, she wakes up and prays Fajr.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this now, this next study that we find, this is a recent study conducted, and it's because of this, mm-hmm. waking up for Fajr and then another prayers that we have and that connection to the creator of the heavens and the earth. And this study is amazing. It's because that goes in line with that holistic lifestyle, if you want to have that satisfaction, that peace, happiness, contentment. So the study says, a recent study conducted by the University of Mannheim in Germany found that Muslims report the highest levels of life satisfaction among different religious groups. The research, led by Dr. Laura Mary, surveyed 67,000 participants to explore the connection between belief in oneness, they're saying belief in oneness, mm-hmm. and life satisfaction. The concept of oneness, or tawhid,
mm-hmm.
says tawhid here, in Islam, refers to the profound sense of connection with the divine principle, life, the world, other people, or activities. The study found that Muslims who hold strong beliefs in oneness, this is tawhid pretty much, mm-hmm. the pure monotheism, report the highest levels of life satisfaction. This is amazing.
Yeah, absolutely.
So this goes back into something even more important, is establishing the deen in your life,
deen,
Islam.
Yes.
Submission to the creator, not the creation.
It's the foundation. If you build anything above that, you're going to be successful. And
have you heard of this study?
No, but I seen Andrew Huberman talks about, I know you probably know who it is. He's a professor at Stanford.
Mm-hmm.
He talked a lot about things that actually himself cannot, because he doesn't have like Muslims in his circle and stuff. So they can't really link it back to the religion. But he has recently came out that he believes in God, because it's impossible to have such a complex brain that functions the way it does, and the body that it existed without a God.
Mm-hmm.
But I did hear a lot of things that coincide with this study. For example, about addiction. They said the highest people who can actually overcome addiction, whether that's pornography, alcoholism, substances, is the people who believe in the oneness of God, because they have a certain way that the prayer does for them, and also prostrating to the ground, which actually is the only way you can discharge certain charge in the body to the ground, and also it drives blood to the front of the head, which is nasiya, that's in Arabic, that's kind of like the part of the brain where it's discharged, and it's the one in charge of deception and actually lying. So when you have blood there, you actually you are more inclined to make the right decisions, which is actually the benefit of the prayer in a health way. It's really immense. It's really hard to just put in one, let's say, podcast or talk about it, but I think it's worth really seeing and practicing, and even focus, khushu'. Imagine you start your day by khushu'.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Khushu'ah is looking to one point. Even Andrew Huberman talks about this. The way you start a productive work is to stare at one point, and you stare at it for up to 60 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine you staring at once. That's pretty much what we do in Salat. We can look left or right, up and down. You look at one point, right?
Where you're going to prostrate. You're supposed to zone in right there.
Correct. And that is create that focus already. So you are starting your day by teaching the body to focus. And that's actually really, really
good. These are just like some of the detailed benefits of Salah.
Yes. And even Andrew Huberman does not know that Muslims do that. Also, he has
Andrew Huberman.
Also, another one about ablution, the way we wash our hands, our face, our feet. He has a method that he showed that an increase of energy that people who cool down their extremities, which is their hands and their face and their feet, they show that their core exchange the heat out, so they feel energized. We do that five times a day, so we feel energized. These are the aspects that also sunlight, right? So when you walk to the masjid, you come back, what are you getting? You're getting the first sunlight in your eyes. So that what it does, it calibrate your circadian rhythm. And this is what he talks about too. There is a lot of things that science are coming to discover, which was gifted to us by the Prophet ﷺ and the Quran. But most Muslims be like, they don't pay attention to that. They don't do it deliberately, understand the value. This is why Islam is all sam'an wa ta'a. Whatever the Prophet ﷺ did, we should just do. And if there is benefits afterwards, it's great. So I think that there is so much value in believing the oneness of Allah. And this is just the health, right? If we talk about the other miracles, we're gonna sit here for probably the next month or so, just recording.
Yeah, that's really deep. The oneness, and then all these things we're talking about, it's the Prophet Muhammad just being the last and final messenger in the line of messengers, Jesus, Moses, Abraham. No, all these were preceding messengers, but because he's getting revelation from the Creator, he's not making these things up, pulling them out of his pocket. The oneness, just to note for people who think, you know, the oneness we're talking about, this pure absolute monotheism. See, if you make a human being into God, you destroy that oneness. If you
Correct.
Give attributes, God Almighty, Allah is the all-hearing, the all-seeing. Mm-hmm. If you say that this individual, my teacher, my sage, my sheikh, my professor, somebody, he sees all, knows all, you just messed up the monotheism.
Correct.
So this is the uniqueness. This is why we say Islam is the only true, pure monotheistic way of life out there.
Correct. And all of the prophets, they were Muslims. All of them. There is no Christian prophet, there is no Jewish prophet, there's none of that. All of them are Muslims.
By ethnicity, you could say Jesus or Moses,
Correct.
Their ethnicity.
Ethnicity.
But by their religion, their way of life.
Yes. The only religion that is revealed is Islam. There is Sharia that came as to each and every prophet, but all of them submitted to Allah. And this is pretty much the meaning of Islam, is to complete submission.
Yeah, that's what Islam is, to submit your will to the will of God. So if you ask what religion, what did Abraham do? Was he a Jew or Christian? No, he submitted his will to the will of God. Now go and Google and say, what does Judaism mean? What's the definition? Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean submission to the will of God.
Mm-hmm.
What does Christianity, Hinduism, look up basic Google search, say, can you give me the definition
Correct.
Of this religion? The only religion that you'll see that says submission to the Creator, Allah, is Islam.
Correct.
That answers a lot of questions. It's
Absolutely.
Really deep.
Absolutely.
Let me get into this now. I did a lot of research at one point, and I made a video about this years back.
Grounding, or what's called earthing.
The concept is that when we're literally in touch with the earth, we absorb electrons that help neutralize the free radicals in our body that damage our cells. Earthing's proponents say this grounding can reduce inflammation, pain, and stress.
If you're grounded, your blood is flowing as long as you stay grounded.
And it also thins the blood, so you're less likely to have a heart attack and a stroke. Mm-hmm. And in fact, it thins the blood so much that if you're taking a blood thinner, you have to lower the dose. Sure.
That's the power of grounding. Grounding is so critical for your brain. It causes instantaneous changes in your left brain too, right? It's where the right brain, what's going on there? That's the creative side. The left brain, that's analytical side. As soon as you ground yourself, your left brain goes, powers down. Right brain doesn't change, but your left brain does.
It helps enhance circulation. So with increased circulation, now you have more energy, you have more nutrients, you're carrying away more wastes. So that has a tremendous positive effect on the body.
Improved sleep is another major benefit, according to the earthing research.
Because you mentioned you also do this grounding.
Yes.
And then I also connected it, and this was a cardiologist and others. They were talking about the benefits of grounding, and they were talking about how this helps too, because you're, you know, always exposed to radiation, cell phone use, and all the other stuff that's kind of out of our control. But then you take
your shoes off
and you go walk in the sand or on the earth.
On the earth,
and that helps to release.
Discharge.
Right?
Yeah, relief, yeah.
And then I was like, subhanAllah, then you connect it. Actually, they don't connect it, make this connection, but we can easily, when you, salah.
Yes.
Aren't you grounding when you make salah?
Correct.
Yeah, can you talk about how much... do you know about grounding? Because you actually do it. And what other things, benefits,
absolutely,
have you come across?
So when I came about grounding, I, of course, there is a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ who incentivizes us to walk barefoot.
Yeah?
Yes, there is a hadith.
And it's authentic hadith?
Yes, authentic hadith, okay. To walk without shoes. Mm-hmm. And also the prostration, you put your head...
Send me this. This
yeah, is, absolutely. Yeah. So what they did recently is that they grabbed a sample of a person who... always wear shoes, they're always indoor, they never actually touch ground. They found out that, and also their metabolic health is really deteriorating. It was not at its peak. And then they took the blood sample, they put it under the microscope, and what they saw is that the red blood cells, which are in charge of carrying oxygen and fuel and nutrients, they were all drunken, meaning like they were moving all like... not in one direction, not in a unison one direction, and they were sticky. So they eliminated, like, they did not move smoothly. Then they took that person 7 minutes to 15 minutes on, let's say, sand or just soil, right? On earth. Then they took another sample. They found that all the blood, red blood cells, are moving smooth in one direction and fast. There is no stickiness. There's no nothing.
This is from a study that they did.
Yes.
All right. So the first sample, the first one is showing sticky blood.
Yes, sticky.
And that's what causes strokes and heart
Correct.
Attacks and you name it. I mean,
yes. And
when
a low energy.
It's like the plumbing. The pipes are not running smooth,
mm-hmm.
and you can have a clog. So if you have a clog in the
correct
in your arteries, you're going to have big problems.
And when you're training and the brain is demanding oxygen and blood flow, right?
Yeah.
This is pretty much what keeps the... And the brain is really rigid. And, you know, in jiu-jitsu, when someone knocks you, like do you on a headlock, you lose consciousness. The brain turns off the entire body because it says, I'm not getting oxygen. I don't need anything else to use oxygen. Everything that's left in the body, I'm going to use. This is pretty much how the brain operates. So when you have the stickiness, your energy is not optimized. Nothing that is, everything in the body requires oxygen and fuel, right? So when that is not getting enough to places, and we all know the presence of oxygen is the absence of disease.
Yeah.
So you will feel inflammation, you'll feel stagnant, the organs will not function properly, the brain does not function properly, and when you're exercising and you're not doing the grounding part, your muscles are demanding oxygen and fuel, but it's not getting
in. Do you recall how long they did this before they did the second test? How long was it? 5 minutes a day, 10 minutes, and for how long? What was the duration?
I think they did 7 to 15 minutes. That's what the study did.
Seven to 15 minutes.
It's grounding. Yeah.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. how long? Do you remember? How many?
One day.
Just one day.
Just one day.
And that had that much of an effect on the
Yeah.
Wow. And I've been seeing. You see, I think it was what part of the? I think I was seeing in Australia or somewhere. We've even seen here just people, they're making shoes now that kind of look like feet, but they still have the underneath. They still have
the
but I'm actually, they have people walking barefoot. I think it was in Australia. I was seeing a news report and people were just a good chunk of people just walking barefoot.
Correct. Yeah.
They probably saw this study.
Absolutely. Yeah. It improves the health by a lot.
But what about now when you're making sajda, when you're putting, so this is your feet.
Yes.
Now, when you're putting your head like
your
we
forehead.
Do, yes, this is a form of grounding, isn't it?
Correct. Yes, it's the same thing happens as well. Actually, even more, because as I said, there is a part of the brain that blood does not get to a lot,
mm-hmm.
right? And that's kind of like in the front, and it's in charge of pretty much deception and making decision and having like integrity in a way.
Yeah.
So when you prostrate, you one discharge the charge that's been built up, but also you drive in blood to the area. So I mean, mm-hmm. it's getting oxygen and it's getting nutrients as well.
Yeah. So we covered just a tad bit of some of the most important thing, the oneness. Even the article talking about Tawheed, the mm-hmm. oneness of God, starting your day off with And there's been many studies. I mean, you'll see people like Jenko Wilkins, and have you heard of him?
Yeah.
And then he'll put a picture of his watch, and he'll say 4:15, go get him. Like, you know, like showing, like, mm-hmm, and you see, like, Goggins, you heard of Goggins, yeah, mm-hmm, all these guys, yeah, like, they know the benefits of waking up early.
Correct.
But we got that with Fajr.
Yes, absolutely.
Right? So breaking through, start of the day, early in the morning, we touched upon now grounding, one of the things, working out.
Correct.
Nutrition, let's go back to that. Nutrition now, because many, you'll have people who are doctors, you know, they their whole life, and you go to the masjid, and mm-hmm, I've often repeated this, and it's very sad.
Yeah.
And then you'll see literally a table of doctors, but then they'll have Coca-Cola, Sprite, potato chips,
cookies
yeah, at the table.
It's sad, yeah. It is sad.
Because they should be the ones driving this stuff out of the masjids.
Correct.
And hopefully, I mean, this is no disrespect to any of our doctors, but this, I mean, they're great at diagnosing and yeah, great at prescribing. But now they don't learn nutrition in medical school. So inshallah, if you have the best in mind for your patients, you're going to go to the next level.
Correct.
And then complement your training. But what do you think about that?
Yeah, I think there is a complete, I would call it as it is, ignorance to the subject of nutrition in masajid and the ummah. I mean, even it goes to the point where, as you said, doctors do not really advise. And this is what
this is, doctors tell us.
Yes.
Doctors tell us. We're not just making, doctors will tell you, you know, who have actually gone above and beyond, mm-hmm, and they've studied the other sciences.
Correct,
and nutrition,
yeah,
and they say, I didn't learn. I had to go outside the mm-hmm box and learn.
Yeah, absolutely. Because there is, as we call it, an agenda, right? Not to have us healthy, have us.
And that opens up another, yeah.
Yeah,
it
so.
It opens up another,
exactly,
another topic.
Another can,
yeah,
of worm, yeah.
Yeah.
But I do believe that every single family, and it starts from the family, starts from the individual, everyone needs to educate themselves about the food that they're eating. It's pretty simple, too, to actually understand. Just eat fruits, vegetables. Make sure you are eating, you know, a good amount of meat, protein per pound. You're making sure that you're not eating anything that is manufactured and labeled and put into a shelf that can last for like 5-6 years. Make sure that you're getting all your nutrients first from whole foods, nutrients-dense food, before you start filling up with empty calories and high sugars, stuff like that. And it's pretty simple. You can literally, like, I actually give this as a free guide. I call it the health reset. So every time anyone comes to be like, Hussein, I would like for me to change my life, feel better, maybe lose fat and correct my posture. He's like, I'm ready to go work out. I said, you're not ready for a workout. The first base to fix your lifestyle, get your inflammation down, all these different things, because a lot of people have bloating, and everything suffers when nutrition isn't on point. Your ibadah, your performance, your mood, your productivity, your relationship with your family, the man doesn't feel like strong. So all of these things the nutritional aspect has a cascading effect on all of that. But I think in masajid, when you go in and you find, like, you know, all these cookies and sugars and soft drinks and stuff like that.
That stuff is poison, man.
Absolutely.
Wreaks havoc on the body.
And we're not supposed to harm our bodies as Muslims.
Yeah. Kids are having, at a young age, chronic diseases, diabetes, mm-hmm,
obesity
is the highest levels in children.
Correct. And it affects the mind too. They have a really bad time at focusing and on one task or being like really attentive to things.
I mean, this is like blatant just child abuse. You're not even knowing.
Correct.
But you can't say you don't know. You're watching us right now. You need to really...
You have to be harsh too. Sometimes to kind of like...
Be humble humble in a state that take the new information, mm-hmm, and realize you don't know everything.
Mm-hmm.
And now evaluate this, look into it, and then you have to be disciplined. That you have to, like you're saying.
Correct.
You know, you can't let your children now go down this route yourself, and you're just destroying your health.
Yeah, or thinking that you are treating them by taking them to McDonald's or giving them like French fries from... French fries from McDonald's has... I think it was 49 ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and not to talk about the nutritionist, the one that we watched that video in that last time, mm-hmm, we spoke. He actually has a great video out there. He talks about what they spray the fries with, what they spray it with.
Yes.
After they spray it, they don't come near it for some time.
I think 60 days.
And then they come in these suits. That's the McDonald's fries.
Yes, to maintain the color, the consistency,
yeah,
the crispiness.
Yeah,
because they want to make
unbelievable
sure.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Make it look like, you know, so it's this is not a potato that you could chop up in your house, put it in the oven, and you're all good.
Yeah, no. Yeah, this is not it. Yeah, if you look, I think all of these companies, we're talking about McDonald's, Chick-fil-A, a lot of them are actually drugstores. Yeah. I mean, have you ever heard of the incidents in California, I think, where a guy shot a clerk at Popeyes or like a server? Yeah, he went through the window. They said, we're out of chicken. He just ended his life.
This is such a fascinating topic. I really get inspired to talk about this because it's really, you can go from one level to the next to the next. You mm-hmm. go deeper and deeper and deeper. And what you were talking about, you know, staying away from certain things, I often say just eat real food.
Correct.
Stay away from fake food.
That's it.
It's simple. Eat real food. What's real food? Mm-hmm. Well, how would you define real food?
Nutrients dense. Something that grows on the ground and something that walks and has a face. Yeah. Except the things that
has the food been. That Allah says, eat tayyibat. This is real food. Allah's telling you, eat of the tayyib. It's even in the Quran, Surah Baqarah.
Absolutely.
Eat of the tayyibat.
The goods that we have given you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And stay away from the things that they are abstained from.
Fake food, food that comes with a list of ingredients. I often say that you mm-hmm. can't pronounce.
Correct.
They made it in a lab somewhere. And
additives, color stuff, synthetic, processed. Oils.
They say that a great number of foods here are banned actually in Europe.
Yes, correct.
Right?
Yeah.
So imagine the colorings. They've exposed a lot of these colorings are carcinogenic, carcinogenic that they cause cancer.
Cancerous, yeah.
It's it causes unbelievable. Cancers,
yeah, because the body.
And that's another thing. Now you wake up in the morning and you're feeding your children these cereals that actually have poison in them.
It takes almost like the same time to actually cook them an omelet, really quick, a little healthy cheese, a glass of whole milk.
Some eggs, some pasture-free organic eggs.
That's it.
Very healthy.
And they feel strong. They go to school, let's say, if they are going to school, they stay focused. Everything is dialed in. They feel great about the day. And so all in all, it's actually really, really important to switch the nutritional part and focus on bringing whole foods and eliminating anything. And a lot of people will say like, but I have chips, I already have all my pantry full with this stuff. Listen, it takes a decision, and a decision you have to make a decision. It's not a choice, right? Decision and choice is different. A choice, you be picking. A decision, you go one way.
Yeah.
Throw everything out and start from scratch.
Yeah, let's touch upon one more thing before we conclude. But this is such an important topic. It's very deep. Uh-huh. Not to even talk about, you know, kids eating this garbage and yourself and just destroying your teeth that are meant to stay with you until the end, right?
Correct.
And kids are having root canals, losing their teeth at a young age. It's due back to the food, the sugar. Go to war on sugar. That's the advice I'd give. I don't know if you'd agree. You probably would.
I would, yeah.
All processed refined sugars, different date. In the dates or apples,
those are great.
We're talking about white refined sugar.
White refined sugar, or
get rid of it.
Sucralose or manufacturer stuff that
totally stay away from.
Yeah, absolutely.
Substitute it with what?
You can have honey.
Honey.
You can have dates. They are sweet, but surprisingly, there's a guy who measures how much your insulin spikes.
Yeah.
Dates do not spike your insulin.
That's amazing how Allah made it like that.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah, it has the fiber. It has everything to go into the body the right way, where it doesn't spike, like you're saying.
Yes, and you can live on they call them an aswadain.
Yeah.
Zamzam and dates.
Allahu Akbar.
And you can live on them.
Look at that.
Literally.
Because usually when you tell people, get away from sugar, what do you mean? Sugar's in everything.
Yeah.
It's in dates. That's not the same.
No,
it's not the same.
Absolutely.
Now, let's get into a last part before we conclude, entrepreneurship. So we got a lot of, these are the core fundamentals now, success, successful, high value. And now we have entrepreneurship. What do you what advice do you like to give in this area?
I think one of the things that I noticed, because I work with a lot of youngsters or Muslims or even non-Muslims, the one thing that a lot of people operate from is scarcity. And scarcity, they don't understand what abundance means. And this goes back to monotheism, right? So because Allah is the Razzaq, He's the one who's provided for us, right? We just try to collect that risk, right? But everything is provided by the Creator, Allah. Another thing, too, is that the first ever story actually is a true demonstration of scarcity and abundance. So Allah told Adam to live with Eve in Jannah and have the whole paradise, except do not come one tree, right? So Allah is abundant, but forbid Adam to come near one tree. The devil comes and leaves everything, then focuses on what? One tree, which was forbidden. So you can see the devil brings the attention to scarcity, but Allah focuses on abundance. But also there is ayah in the Quran, it says, وَيَعْدِكُمُ الْفَقَرِ, and the devil promise you poverty. So a lot of people will break literally like some religious commandments for the sake of collecting rizq, thinking that that's kind of like the way. Maybe that's the rizq you will get in the halal way. But also there is another principle too, that we don't diversify. We all stuck 9 to 5. Alhamdulillah, I have different things that I came to understand and built. But in terms of having an income, it's great, but you can get fired. The biggest risk a person can take is not entrepreneurship. It's to keep one job, and that's one income. And if that's get cut, as we saw 2 or 3 years ago, when people were getting fired, or people now just getting fired for their opinion, or some situational things that happened to them. So now what? You're just going to be homeless? But then also the mindset of the Muslims about wealth and being rich, it's so warped, because they believe that, because there is a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ says that the majority of the people of paradise are the poor people. So they think, okay, I'm just going to get to paradise by being poor. No, what about the other hadith that the Prophet ﷺ, every morning, he seeked protection from kufr and poor poverty. So it showed, and also the best and the some of the people who are promised paradise, Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan and also Abdurrahman ibn Auf, they were one of the richest. Sayyidina Abdurrahman ibn Auf donated 700 camels. In the US, or pricing is 10,000 to 15,000 a head of a camel. And on top of it, it has all goods for the people of Medina.
Wow.
At that time. Think about it. At that time, it's at average, I would say, 7 to maybe $20 million in today's money. He was rich. And he was promised Jannah. Then in the Abad, there is a balance between dunya and akhirah. So you can't lose your akhirah chasing just the money. There is a certain amount in which you will have to attain, and you have to focus on your deen, helping others, expand, mentor people, and all of these things that is so important. But we get stuck with people just have no desire to actually be better. And if we know anything, that the world runs, whoever has the gold control the world, right? And that's what they say. So we just became slaves to money. And then when you operate from that perspective, you really have a scarcity, and you always feel like you are paying for things with your life. For example, you have something that you need to buy, or like buy a gift for someone. And this is kind of like another sunnah that we have lost as Muslims, is gifting each other's with things, right? And it's from the sunnah. But also donation, supporting community, building the deen center, right? So this is one of the things. Like if we have like 5 people who are multimillionaires, they could simply like, okay, deen center, let's, you know what, let's just get it done, because we need this, we need to do da'wah. How much do you need, brother Eddie? Boom. You see what I'm saying? It helps. And this is what the sahaba did. They did not just chase the money, they chased the akhirah by making whatever they made in halal way in the dunya to pay for it. And also a lot of entrepreneurship that we can learn, we don't need to truly dive into what today's like Gary Vee or Grant Cardone or Patrick Bet David. We don't need to, because a majority of those people made money through ways that we shouldn't, right? A lot of people be like, yeah, read the Poor Dad, Rich Dad. Yeah, but I don't want to get into real estate and pay an interest, because I don't, because I'm Muslim. I can't do that. I need to figure out a way how I can actually make money in the halal way.
Yes.
Right? So I follow Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan. He has an amazing rules. He has a quote that he says that, كُنْتُ أُعَالِجُ وَأُنَمِّي وَلَا أَزْدَرِي رِبْحَ وَلَا أَشْتَرِي شَيْخَ وَأَجْعَلُ الرَّأْسَ رَأْسَيْنِ. He has rules. He would stand on his business. He will take care of the operations. Not like today's, oh, I want to do passive income. Even their time is like, is free. Capitalize on your time, then make the resources, and then hire people, then leverage labor, and then kind of figure out how to make passive income. But then he was also incremental progress. He always focused on progress, building your clientele, building your email list, building your revenue, creating different hierarchies of products from low ticket to high ticket, stuff like that, right? And I do have a platform, it's called Excellence Arena, where I teach all these things. Over, we have over 68 skill set developing, and we teach about business, we teach about how to focus, and also we integrate the health aspect in it too. But then if you go to wala azdari ribha, he never looked down upon small profit. A profit is a profit, whatever is small or big, because it's small, you can multiply it by 1,000 and it gets bigger. If it's big, that's great, right? Then wala ashtari shaykha, he would never invest in things that they are outdated, meaning like has some, like you wouldn't be today buying radios to sell radios, be like, yeah, well, people listen to radio, no one cares, everyone is tuning into new technology, new stuff, so figure out what's trendy. And there's a bunch of podcasts or websites that you can actually learn about these things and you can move forward, or join email lists. They tell you, okay, this is a hot product, is coming to the market, and you can do drop shipping, you can do anything to actually sell. Then وَأَجْعَلُ الرَّأْسَ رَأْسَيْن, this goes to diversification. Make, you made the business here, make a parent. For example, if you have, let's say you bought a building for real estate and you bought everything the halal way, of course, but then if you want to do, you can build a management company next to it, then they can manage it, then you get fees from HOA, right? Then you can do another thing, that you can plumbing, you can do carpentry, you can do a lot of different things that you can act, or you can sell them all the appliances. It has so many different things. So always diversification, and just take whatever you're making and learn how to invest, learn how to budget, learn what's an asset compared to a liability. We have to really excel at being financially literate, right? We need to understand what it's the financial world we live in and how we are being manipulated and controlled, being stuck in a hamster wheel from 9 to 5. I know people who are Muslims, they can go to the masjid on Friday to pray. They will miss Fajr because they need to get stuck in traffic for an hour to get to work. Imagine you are abandoning the creator who you have an appointment with at 5 a.m. or 4:30 a.m. and you're going chasing something that is going to perish. And you seeking little amount for the creator, he's the Razzaq. So the entire thing, kind of like equation, is flipped upside down. So this is one of the most important mindset that I hope the new generation, or even people who already are professional and have making good money in their stable job, to all really open up their eyes, because it literally takes, we have an amazing library of books about financial literacy, all these things, and it's, you can take 15 minutes a day. You listen to it when you're driving instead of scrolling on social media, frying your brain with cheap dopamine. You can literally learn and become a really interesting person. And I think that maybe people now would be confused. Is this guy about health? Is this guy about nutrition? Is this guy training? What does this guy do? What allowed me to actually be a multifaceted individual, that I'm actually curious about what the body does, how the mind works, what food should I eat to actually be optimal? What's the proper way to learn the deen? How should I be managing my money? How can I, because as a guy, as people will assume that how to be a high value man, you have to be a 7 or at least an 8 across multiple different areas in your life to be actually successful and be respected. And this is pretty much what we seek, and hopefully be an asset to the ummah. So hopefully this covered like part of the things that I'm trying to bring to the Muslim world. And also I would love to invite, and every time I have a non-Muslim, I try to teach them about who we are and what we do and how we do things. And they found it fascinating. For example, when they come into my program to work out, that is definitely a Monday or a Thursday to fast. They'd be like, but I'm not Muslim. Why do I care? I don't care. You got to join in this because it's going to be good for your health. But sometimes to kind of like get people to be interested in something, they have to kind of get into that, you know, challenge. Yeah. And it's a great, it's one of the greatest fasting. It teaches you how to cut sugar. It resets your tasting buds. You'd be like, oh, this is salty. Exactly. So why were you eating it? Because they numbed those senses. But when you fast, it's a great reset. Your dopamine detox, you lower down the bar, so you always feel content, you feel good with hardship, you feel for the poor, you reset your gut flora, you build your body, cleanses itself. So all of these things are little acumens that I truly care about, because that's what makes the difference.
Beautiful. Yeah. You covered a lot, man. That's good Alhamdulillah. Stuff. So, and then you said that platform was that
people. It's called Excellence Arena. It's on Rujula.com.
JazakAllah. Thank you, brother.
You know, Barakallahu fi for having me. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you, brother. Salaam alaikum.